This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Finally, it's here. Is it the podcast you've been waiting for? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you My Old Man Said. Okay, villains, let's get this party started.
Greetings and welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast show. I'm David Michael, the editor of My Old Man Said. This podcast would have probably started a couple of seasons ago, but it's been on the back burner, mainly because writing about the deep, dark despair of supporting Aston Villa in recent years has been depressing enough. But with a new owner, a new league, and hopefully a new team, it seems like a good time to finally get this thing running. I just want to say a quick thank you to the My Old Man Said patrons who have been a massive support in the last few months. This first podcast is dedicated to them. By the way, if you want to join as a patron, you'll see the links on either the SoundCloud or iTunes page of the podcast or just by visiting myoldmansaid.com. We'll get onto the show proper in a few seconds, but with the season about to start, I thought it might be a good idea to pass on some messages of support to the Villa team for the promotion push ahead. I didn't want to do anything too cheesy, but luckily I managed to pull in a few favours and track down two Aston Villa legends.
Tom Fox here, I'm currently sipping cocktails in the Bahamas. I just want to say thanks for the $1.25 million last season and good luck in the championship. Go the Burgundies!
Hey there, Villa fans. This is the voice of your god, Randy Lerner. Best of luck this term. I've really set you up for treats.
Anyway, let's crack on with the show. We'll be talking about all the key Villa issues, like the summer takeover, the slow rebuilding of the Villa squad, what supporters think about our promotion prospects, and of course, our Twitter king, Dr. Tony. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome, on the first ever My Old Man Said podcast, two guys who have been pretty instrumental in getting this up and running. First of all, the man behind the Villa Underground blog, Dan Rogers, and also the My Old Man Said writer with the voice of velvet, he's going to hate me for saying that, Chad Wren. So, have you recovered yet from the nightmare that was last season?
Just about. I think we had our Bit of Euros. One Villa player involved. He managed to score a comedy own goal.
One ex-Villa player.
That's correct. Correct. Just left ex-Villa player. And they made a takeover. And a sign of how convinced I am we're going to do well, we'd renewed before the takeover.
Renewed what?
Season tickets.
Ah, right. Okay.
Season tickets.
Sorry, alien concept to me. After last season, anyway. Chad, how's your optimism compared to the end of last season under Dr. Tony?
Being a bit more fickle than Dan, I actually renewed mine after the takeover happened because I wasn't as optimistic before that had to play. But yeah, happy days with the new owners coming in, especially after the moves with for a new striker.
So Dan, what are your thoughts on the takeover so far? I mean, we don't know the full picture yet. Some new owners haven't played their cards yet. But I mean, initially when they took over, the press was like centred on these kind of wild statements of being a top three team in the world in 5 years' time, being the biggest club in China, winning the Champions League in like 10 years. But, you know, the reality has probably come down a little bit since the season's hours away, and we don't seem to have that revamp that we expected.
No, and I think that the good thing, the initial happiness, I suppose, that we all had when Randy Lerner was gone and that lovely awkward photo of the good doctor hugging him in Randy's house. That was a bit of a strange one, but strangely, it romantically nourished us nonetheless. And I think that what we've had since is Tony's tried to make the right sort of noises, and I think it's no more complicated than he's sitting on Twitter in his pants going, I've got a really great idea here, guys. And then it's out there, and that's sort of how it's been playing out.
Now it's time for Twitter with Tony. 28th of July. For days, I've been wondering a question. If one of our rivals plays dirty, should we play decently? But I understand why they're relegated. July 28th. Nothing can stop us. Maybe harder, maybe longer, but we'll get there. You know what I mean? July 29. Once someone has closing contract, looks like being given a chance to betray. Said stay in one day and escape the other day. D now G. 31st of July. It was because of impatience that they were expelled from paradise. It is because of indolence that they do not return. Kafka. Ooh.
I think we were talking earlier on, and you said somebody's told him there's been no communication under the Lerner administration. And, you know, he's obviously thought, well, you know, I can win popularity brownie points straight away by communicating directly to them. I mean, what do you think, Chad?
Well, obviously he's thought that he's got to communicate with the supporters, but I think he's going a bit too over far-stretched with that. But it might be come to a shock to a system to ourselves anyway, having gone from absolute silence to Dr. Tony is just sat there tweeting almost every day now and giving us all sorts of inside information. But I don't think it's very professional running from the club so far.
Because I don't think the doc has turned up at Villa Park yet. So he hasn't met the staff and the kind of, you know, structure of Villa Park, because obviously there's about 30% of staff that have kind of left the club. So there's been a lot of disparaging in the club's communication. The chain of club communication is broken because, you know, Dan, as we were saying earlier on, there's been announcements about players that are leaving, and he's confirming it before the club, any club, the buying or selling club, have received it. And, you know, Ross McCormack, we know he's definitely coming because he got excited retweeting a goal video. So, I mean, what do you think that kind of, what kind of message does that send out, Dan?
I think it's that lurch. It is the lurch from the complete media blackout under Lerner to this. It's a little bit amateurish and it's a little bit out there. You know, you only have to look at the comment he made on Twitter about Holloway. It was you just don't get drawn into it. And I think that, yeah, by all means think it, but don't put it on Twitter. And it's kind of the same thing that I imagine the people at the club who are thinking, well, we've sorted ourselves a striker here. Tell you what, we'll release it in the morning. Oh no. And then refresh their social media feed to see Tony jumping around his living room or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it's any more complicated than that. I think he's just excited, and there's no one who's gone, You do realise when you're sat, you know, if we're having a bad patch and you're sat in the director's box staring down the whole tent looking at Twitter, everyone will be on at you.
August 1st. A failed player, failed manager, and now a chuffing pundit. Don't bother reading at all.
Ian Holloway, that's not a story.
It's a non-story.
But it is a story after he, you know, he tweets about it. And that's the problem, because it kind of makes you us feel a bit of a low rent club if we're reacting like that in the media, and the media now is, I mean, it operates on such a base level that somebody, you know, this whole concept of somebody tweets and it becomes a story, and you know, the Birmingham Mail or, you know, one of these kind of clickbait kind of ad network sites, there's all this kind of just mush out there, and all he's doing is kind of adding to that. But as you said, you know, a lot of advantages, because fans suddenly have communication with the guy who's, you know, pulling the strings. So, I mean, of the business so far, do you think there's a sense of being underwhelmed by what's happened, Chad?
Well, considering he wants us to be a top three club in the world, possibly. But no, in all seriousness, maybe in terms of experience, we're lacking a little bit still. Because obviously, with the players we've brought in already, only Elphick probably offers the best amount of experience in the Championship and has got 60 games or so under his belt for a Premier League and Championship club. But then you look at Gallini and Tshibola. Like, you wrote the article about Gallini saying that maybe a 21-year-old keeper isn't what we need to rely on for a whole 46-game season. And I certainly agree with that, especially Tshibola as well, considering he hasn't played hardly any games, if you look at it. So will he be able to anchor our midfield for that long? I don't think so.
I mean, even Di Matteo came out with the quote of building a new spine, but I don't see two 21-year-olds coming as a new spine. You know, having seen, I went to the Telford game and saw the Middlesbrough game, and is there that much difference from last season? I mean, it's hard to say yes. I mean, Dan, do you think they've transformed enough going into the Sheffield Wednesday game, which is going to be one of the toughest games of the season?
No. I think we just need such wholesale change that you look through the whole of the squad and there's such damage, I think, off the back of last season that it's easy to see where the issues are. I sort of agree. You know, I'm excited to some extent to see how Gallini and Tshibola get on, because they're unknown players, and you know, it goes one of two ways. That they'll blossom into something, or they'll show something quite raw, like an Adama Traore, or they don't. And we're sort of in a position where we need something more than we had last year, and I am a bit worried. We still look short, and I thought against Middlesbrough that was a reasonable test, and we look very short against them.
Aston Villa have become the specialists of signing unknown players recently, so there is that expectation and excitement, but if it doesn't click into place in the first six or seven games, there may be a problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the biggie is that you probably only have four or five games before people start to make their minds up about some of it, and they're quite young guys. And I think particularly with the goalkeeper, he could, you know, really hope he gets off to a flyer and whatever, but he could be exposed quite quickly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what about the players that have left? There's a bunch of players that are on release clauses. I mean, there's obviously anybody who signed a new contract, especially under the Tom Fox administration, either had release clauses in there and or kind of wage reduction clauses. And, you know, we've seen Clark go for $5 million to Newcastle, which, you know, we'll talk quickly about in a second. We've seen Garner go as well for a release clause, which was actually about $2 million less than what we bought him for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was, you know, watching Jordan AU in the games that I've seen this preseason, and he when he walks around, he has a kind of like a grimace and kind of a walk of a man who hasn't got a release clause. But you know, what do you think of those players going out? I mean, it's pretty much to be expected, is it not? And I think Mikhail Richards would have gone by now if Sunderland didn't have a change of manager.
I think it's good business so far, because I just feel like we need to get those players away that have got a losing mentality and that are low on confidence. But I still feel like we have a lot of bad eggs around the squad. If you look at the likes of Gabby and Lescott, and those are players that will be really hard to shift because there aren't big wages and they don't want to move anywhere themselves, not going to be motivated. Lescott doesn't mind sitting in the stands earning however much money he's getting. I am fairly happy with the offloads, especially Clark. Obviously, a lot of people probably would have thought selling Clark to Newcastle might have been a bad move. I think they wouldn't have minded if he would have been sold elsewhere, because Newcastle being a promotion rival, it's a bit of sort of iffy move. But either way, I'd take 5 or 6 million, whatever's reported for him, every day of the week.
Is this the bomb squad mark two? Because you've got Lescott, you've got Richards, you've got potentially Gabby, who, you know, hasn't shown his face yet in pre-season. Bakuna, you know, might looks to be potentially in De Matteo's plans, but is that only because he's got quite a few seasons left on his contracts? How do we get rid of these players, and do you think Doc Tony will pay anybody off to move them out?
I think they've got a big decision to make, because it appears that throughout pre-season, especially with Bakuna, that we've been trying to rehabilitate him a little bit.
Yeah.
And the only rationale can be that, I mean, thinking of Bakuna particularly, he's on quite a long contract. And there's no getting away from the fact that that group of players who you mentioned were relegated in spectacular fashion and probably aren't appealing even to some championship clubs. You know, there was issues in the dressing room with some of them. There's a huge quality question. You know, Lescott's arguably past it. Gabby's looks like somehow has managed to be a one-man club with us. And Bakuna's scarred from years of bad management and years of not being very good.
Sorry, I actually missed out Carlos Sanchez as well, which it looks like him, Veretu, have been touted about. And probably they have. There's an issue of not being able to get the same wages elsewhere. Maybe that's this, you know, a bit of a stickler.
That seems to be the case, and I think whilst we've got them, we might as well use them and maybe treat it as a bit of shop window. That could come back to haunt us if, you know, the team gets broken up before the end of August, but, you know, could set us off on something at least. We need wholesale change, and there's no getting away from that. I think we've got, we're going to be stuck with some people who are going to be in and around the squad, and we're going to have to use them.
So what's the bare minimum in terms of, I mean, we'll see what happens in terms of faces out, but in terms of end of August, faces in, what is the bare minimum that you could contently think that Villa can push for promotion? And you know, it's a shame when I hear Villa fans asked about their expectations, and you know they're saying, oh, maybe seventh, you know, sixth, fifth, fourth. When I remember last, you know, I was a young lad when we got relegated last time, and the only thing we talked about was getting instant promotion, bouncing straight back up. That was the only conversation. And I don't know if it's because of a dampening down over 5 years of just having our souls crushed and our ambition drained.
Expectations, yeah. I think that's what it is.
But so what's the bare minimum in terms of faces, in terms of positions? What do you think we need? Because that defence isn't sorted out. The midfield still is a massive problem. And potentially up front, we're all right, because it's the midfield that needs to get its act together to, you know, create the chances. I mean, Gusteds might not be the greatest player in the world, but if you give any striker no service, he's going to be next to useless.
I'd probably say four faces in there around.
Which positions?
We need a definitely boost in central midfield. I think we need an experienced head in there again, especially with Garner going out. We certainly need to improve in that position.
Well, like I'd probably say box-to-box type leader, or... I mean, I was hoping Gardner would step up and fill that role, but I don't know.
I'd like an experienced head to sit in front of the back four, because I think a lot of fans got confused and thought Shibola would be one of the sort of players that would offer that, but I actually think he's more attacking than anything. He'll put in the dirty work, but I think he's more going forward, which youthful players are usually aimed upon. And then I'd probably say I'd go for a right back as well, because I don't feel like we're very solid there. And if hopefully we do manage to shift on Marco Richards, then we need to fill in that position as well, because like we've said before, Alan Hutton I don't think has the quality to last in that position, especially for the 46 games. And then on top of that, I'd go for a centre half as well, because we saw on Saturday, after Clark's gone out the door, definitely so many one. That's another sort of elfic type.
But it looks like he's, if you just read into pre-season so far, he's going to partner Baker with elfic because Okoye's right-footed, and I don't know if he's carrying a knock or something, but Okoye would be the main man. Maybe he's trying to find his way out of the club as well. Sorry, Dan, what's your assessment of the faces that needs to be coming in bare minimum before the end of August?
Similar, really. I'd say we need at least three. Just running through the spine of the team, we probably need a second competent goalkeeper to put some pressure or to have some cover for the young kid. Fullbacks, I think if you're relying upon Amavi getting fit quickly and staying fit after a horrendous knee injury, because I think the style of, from looking at the Middlesbrough game particularly, Di Matteo looks to want to be playing an overlapping, very high up the pitch fullback, you know, wing back essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need someone who can put a ball in for a start and defend. We're crying out for a quality central midfielder and in my head, I think we need a Gareth Barry type player or an Andy Townsend type player or an Ian Taylor, someone combative but who can spot a pass as well. We haven't got that.
I think, you know, even if they go for like, I don't know, like some quality player. I think we discussed this before. Who's, you know, even if he's like 34, 35, who can do one season like Cambiaso did for Leicester. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a useful acquisition, even just to get us up. A
clever midfielder who can hold it together when you know that there's an out ball from the defence and they can spray it about, and just as something that we don't have the ability to turn the game very quickly, and you see it in against opposition all last season and for the last three or four, they seem to get to our final third so much quicker than we do. And you know, you talk about Gisted not getting any service. Well, he's often so far away from the goal, like any of our strikers.
Yeah.
So I think if we could add just something to the spine of the team to free up maybe a creative midfielder or a striker.
And looking at the guys that have come in, what's your impressions there? Because
lack of experience, I think, is the thing so far.
I'm not buying into this. We have a new spine. I mean, that's I don't even know why Di Matteo came out with that, but
I'd say if we managed to get this type of centre mid that you're talking about, it'd look a lot more promising then. Because if you look at the likes of Elphick, the so-called centre mid that you're talking about, that experience head there in the centre park, and then McCormack as well. Because I saw something earlier about saying, how can we even say that Elphick will be the certain captain? Because McCormack could be the type of player to battle for that as well.
That's what we want, isn't it? We want players on the pitch who have got some seniority, who can say, you know, like when we, last season, every other week, we seem to concede 1, 2, 3 goals very quickly. Those sort of players who can get other junior players together and say, look, just bed down, dig in for 5 or 10 minutes, ride this and get back into the game. We haven't got anyone, that cool head.
Yeah, Paddy Riley's still about. One thing you could do is draw up a list of all the captains in the Championship and just buy a couple of them.
Yeah.
Can we retract that in case he actually used that as a plausible way of rebuilding our club?
Back in the day, you'd buy international players. So that was like a quality quota. I mean, especially centre-backs we had.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Some, you know, always had like, you know, international centre-back in terms of, you know, like Melberg, Larsen, you know, even Villar. And that was at least, you know, you knew they were of a certain quality.
You can see how that's become diluted in time, can't you? Because, especially over 5 years where we've gone from having, you know, those names that you just mentioned to where you see Clark join Newcastle, and though he's been around a long time, I can't say I was overly bothered to see him go.
No, neither was I. 5.1 million is pretty good, and I'm quite surprised Newcastle are splashing the cash. It's a bit premature just to say it's going to be us and Newcastle, because, you know, I don't believe that for a second. But do you think Newcastle have got the heart for the battle? Because it's just assuming that they've, you know, they've splashed a bit of cash, they've spent the most out of all the teams in the Championship, that they're just going to walk this. They had the players last season to survive, but they're just, there's just not gelling. I mean, obviously Rafa having a pre-season is going to be a bit of a game changer for them, but still, they should have survived under him.
They should have done, but they were the elephant in the room for Newcastle fans was he had a lot of games and they were terrible. And they were terrible at Villa Park.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I was very surprised about that game. I thought they would, you know, they would coast it. Considering that what was at stake, they offered absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that sort of changed my mind about Benitez as well is the fact that he signed Clark. I completely questioned all my respect for him. That I'm like, where's that come from? And I saw the comments about it today saying that he was a very versatile player that can play in defensive midfield as well. I sort of rubbing my hands together, like,
Do that when we play.
I think it was actually, as you say, I think it's quite a good sign. I mean, if Villa can get their act together.
Yeah.
Well, I would rather we were picking signings and saying, you know, being quite methodical about it. You look at Newcastle's purchasing, it's very scattergun, it's very sort of like, okay, what you'll do, you're a bit of a name, you might be a bit of a name. Let's get him in.
If you look at Gale and McCormack, it's near the same amount of price, and I know who I'd choose out of those two if wanted to get promotion straight away. It'd be probably McCormack every single time.
The key players that we have already is, can, you know, Jack Grealish actually impact games? Can Jordan Ayew actually shoot within a second of getting the ball rather than spending, you know, 10 minutes on it before thinking about what he's going to do it with it? But he played very deep against Middlesbrough, so I don't know what the thinking is there, because every time there was a delivery into the box, and credit to both of those two fullbacks who I don't actually want at the club, or certainly starting, there was nobody with an instinct to get on the end of that. So hopefully that's what McCormack will sort out. But if McCormack's playing, is AU playing? Where's he playing? Where's Grealish playing? Is Gusted on the bench and just used as an impact player? I mean, how do you think McCormack's a guy that can link up? Because Grealish needs players. My theory on Grealish is he actually needs players on the same wavelength to kind of open up his game.
Yeah, I think the thing I hadn't really realised about McCormack is the amount of assists that he comes with. And that was something I really didn't know. And that's a major for us, because we don't have a lot of creativity in the team at all. And what we do have is it gets targeted by the opposition, you know. Though I think Grealish struggled for form badly last year, he was also completely crowded out whenever he was on the pitch, because he was the only logical player who could do a fat lot with the ball.
I'm gonna say something shocking. I actually think that Ayew's looks like he's on the way out, to be honest. And I can't see where he fits anymore as well. People say that he could play behind Gusted and McCormack, but the way that Di Matteo has been going on in pre-season looks like that he definitely wants to base a team around Grealish and try and draw the best out of him, like we saw Sherwood did. And you look at the video as well, where for Middlesbrough's first goal, he just doesn't look bothered at all. And after what we've heard about release clauses and then Clark apparently staying but going, even though not many people really bothered, I can't really see how you staying.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, a lot of people big him up, but that's in the real world. He's, you know, if Villa are a decent Premier League team, he's a squad player. I don't think he's a starter. It's no Benteke.
I feel we've gained this sort of illusion from last season because of how poor everyone else was. The only bright lights or sort of relax away from the poorness and below averageness and absolute no effort whatsoever. Yeah. And then we sort of big up these players, like with the youth players as well. A lot of people will say that they want to see the introduction of Russian Hepburn Murphy and things like that, but they're certainly not ready to play into a championship season. Maybe through a few cup games, but after last season, the only reason that we're considering them is because of how poor we were.
That's very true. It's all about looking for some hope and clinging onto it, and that was kind of what a lot of people were doing, I think. Well, we won't go in too much in terms of how Aston Villa are going to set up in this forthcoming season, because at the moment it's purely hypothetical. I mean, the final pieces of the jigsaw aren't in, and things will be more clear after the first week, after the first three or four games. But in terms of your expectations for the season ahead, I mean, I've been running a survey on My Own Man Said, and one of the questions was, when are Aston Villa going to get promoted? Is it going to be this season, in two seasons, three seasons, and then let's not even think about anything beyond that? But initially, a lot of people were saying this season. I think out of kind of blind optimism, I think it was about 56% the last time I checked, but now the figures are 44.5% say this season, 43% say two seasons time. So that's, it's pretty 50-50 between those two. And then 8.6 say three seasons. So as I mentioned before, the last time we went down, it was all about bouncing back straight away. But there seems to be a kind of a resignation that this could be a two-season job. And when you see there seems to be a lack of urgency in rebuilding this team, that kind of seems to say there is a two-year plan in place as opposed to a one-year plan. I mean, what do you think about that, Dan?
Yeah, probably links into the fact that we need to ship so many people on, and I don't think our recruitment's been so clever in the sense that the takeover was protracted and late. And perhaps that's why they're trying to pull out a couple of signings out the bag. Maybe if you could, find your way somehow into the playoffs this season or get onto a good run and, maybe pull out a couple of signings before the end of August. Saving that, aside from that, sorry, you don't want to get bogged down into a really poor season. I'd like to think we wouldn't, but you never know.
There's one problem is because of what happened last season and how bad it was. And fans will, have given this team, another chance so many times, only to have it kind of thrown back in the face. I mean, especially season ticket holders. Mm. And the last time we went down, I mean, we won one game in the first seven games. So there is an adjustment period. But those days, there was no social media, people were a bit more, let's say, patient. They knew there was Graham Taylor was doing a rebuilding job, and that rebuilding job only really kicked in November when he bought Stuart Gray and Andy Gray, and he bought David Platt in February, if I'm correct. So Di Matteo, I think the main focus for the task ahead will be in that last week in August. So do you think fans will be patient enough? And obviously, Dr. Tony's on social media. He's going to, if they win one in the first seven like they did last time, we're in the second tier. He's going to find a bit of a different social media experience, I'd imagine. Especially Chad will be trolling him every day.
I can see going to the last week of August. Definitely, I feel like we'll end up getting our business done fairly late, just simply because of the fact that we're not a very prosperous and sort of attractive squad anymore. Obviously, the moves of McCormack coming in and splashing the cash on a player like him will probably boost the chances of that and show people that we are intent on promoting. But I don't know. It'll be.
Let me stop you there. We are an attractive proposition for a player
for quality
in the championship
players.
In the championship. I'm talking
other
about.
Oh yeah, obviously. But if we want a solid midfield with that, we can't be attractive to the likes of youngsters again and just bring in those. But yeah,
I don't think we can risk the uncertainty of that either, because we've been through different phases, haven't we? Under Lerner, it was spend at the beginning. Then it was austerity. Then it was youth under Lambert. And then it was a lurch towards European youth. None of it's worked. So maybe this is, it's a great chance to really have a great overhaul of the squad. You know, if it takes 2 years, it takes 2 years, but I'd rather that we got back to the Premier League in good shape.
The thing that did annoy me the other day about reading was that Di Matteo was saying that he's put on a 2-year contract, but although he's been put on a 2-year contract, he wants to get promotion in the first years, if he can. It shouldn't be a case of if he can, it should be a case of yes. We shouldn't even be talking about whether we can or not. I want to see us in that top two, and at the moment, I just don't feel like we'd comfortably make it. So we definitely need to do some more deals and sort the shape out of our squad, I think.
Yeah, I think the first 2 months will lay the foundations, but I don't think it should be panic stations after the first 4 or 5 games, because there will be an adjustment. The problem is, you know, fans understand that if it's a different team, if it's the same, you know, a similar first 11 to last season, then all they've got to do is make a few mistakes, get a bad result, and people will turn on them. But if they sort out the squad and revamp it, then of course you give it time.
And now a word from our commercial partners. Do you need a break from the villa? Sail in style to the tropics with Ulysses de la Cruz's.
There's about 10 or 12 clubs in the playoff place, you know, in with a shout of the playoff places, at least, you know, going into like March most season. It's like the Grand National. There's loads of riders, and as long as you're there in the last kind of stretch and you've got your house in order for the run-in, you should, you know, have a good crack at it.
One key thing that I definitely think we should take notice of as well is that we need to get our business done and tied up now in August as well. We don't want to be going into January thinking, oh, we need this player because we've been short through the season. We don't want to be in and around the promotion area. We want to be solid and up there. I want to be buying players in January as sort of bonuses.
I was just thinking earlier when we were talking about Ayew that what we don't want to be happening is that maybe he gets off to, say, a little bit of a flyer. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's true.
Gets 2 or 3 goals and turns some heads maybe in even the Premier League or Europe. And then we face this ridiculous scenario that we haven't faced for a long time whereby we could be poached. Yeah. And then we find ourselves, I mean, it's perhaps getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but it's we don't have a lot of talent. And I know there's issues potentially.
Well, in terms of poaching, I mean, there's the Amavi is potentially up to that. If he's back in, shows himself to be fit and has a decent first few months for Villa, then January, you know, swings open and wouldn't be much of a problem to get his services. I mean, I think, you know, Joe Bennett can do a job in the Championship.
I was about to say that, but then who would you think as a backup then would be scrambling in January to come and find someone then, I think?
Well, you got Sissoko. I mean, we've got depth in the left.
Don't say Sissoko. Sissoko can go anywhere. I'd cut Sissoko's contract.
Well, yeah, no, he's probably looking, you know, for a way out. But if we did have him and Bennett as the number one, then, you know, it's not like a big emergency situation, is it? In terms of expectation, going back to the survey, 42% of Villans said we would make the playoffs this year. 24% said runners-up, 17% mid-table, and 13% getting promoted as champions. So 42, I mean, most people realistically are looking like we're going to be, you know, 6th to 4th, which I think, you know, that's just evidence that most supporters don't think the job has been done so far in terms of rebuilding this squad anyway.
Well, if, like we were talking earlier about acquiring an experienced midfielder, if that signing came in the next few weeks, you'd probably see the percentages going up then in terms of automatics, I think. I think the midfield purchase is a massive one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would plump for 2. But anyway, in terms of other teams that have been doing good business, who, from what you've seen, I'm looking at a top level of clubs in terms of who's going to be, you know, pushing for those 2 promotion places. I think obviously Newcastle and Norwich have got a decent spine. Derby, especially with Pearson, who'd have probably going to add another layer to their team, which was, you know, pretty decent and was unlucky last season. Sheffield Wednesday, definitely. Brighton, they always tend to start very well and they kind of fade at the end, but they're, you know, a couple of players from being a real contender up there. And I mean, do you see anybody after that in terms of the top 2 places?
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily write off Leeds. It always baffles me that they haven't managed to get themselves in and around. Getting back to the Premier League, more probably to do with their crazy chairman than anything else. But I think it's such a mix of teams there. That's the thing.
I think there's plenty of depth in the Championship. I mean, Wolves have got a bit more clout to them now with a new owner. Blues, I just thought, I mean, when they played us in the Cup, they had a proper striker as well. I mean, that would have been potentially a different game. Cardiff, Forest, you know, probably get their acts together again. And then even if you think there's a level below that, you know, there's teams like Blackburn, Reading, Fulham, Wigan and Ipswich have, you know, have all been in the top league in recent times. So it's quite surprising when you look at it.
Familiar names, isn't it?
Familiar names in a pretty decent kind of setup.
Well, we don't want to get caught in that chair.
Chad, have you seen any team particular kind of making waves transfer-wise to improve their stock?
Well, the obvious one is Newcastle, with signings of Matt Ritchie and obviously buying Gale as well. They're going to be looking to go straight back up. But like we discussed before, are they sort of certain experienced players at that level? And will they be able to gel them in time as well? After moving so many, they've obviously made the biggest these moves in the window. But apart from that, there's a few all right deals going on around with Brighton as well. Brighton have managed to grab a few free players in Glenn Murray and Sidwell. I'd say Sidwell is someone that we'd sort of need. Like we were talking before about an experienced player. Imagine if we could have got Sidwell on a free. I think that probably would have been.
I think I've had enough of, you know, one dose of Sidwell was enough.
He might have done a job as a solid midfielder there.
Didn't we manage to sign Sidwell for £5 million after Chelsea got him on a free? Wasn't that how it worked? He wasn't really that good, was he? Like so many before and after. Well, he rode a bit of a crest, didn't he? A bit like Charlie Adam did a couple of years ago, and he got a big move, and then he arrived at Chelsea, and they were like, I've got Makaleli. And then he ended up at Villa Park, where we were going, well, we have got Salifu. So if you'd like to leave, please, Steve. That's where we're at.
Apart from that, though, in the market, I'd probably say a lot. I heard you talking there about Norwich as well, saying that they have a solid spine and they'd be a threat. Mm. But I actually think Wednesday are more of a threat for promotion than Norwich are, especially since Norwich has sold Nathan Redmond as well.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of choosing either or. I think they'll both be up there.
You got to think of Wednesday last season as well, how well they played. And I've just signed Almond Abde from Watford as well, who's quite a nifty player. I know a lot of people know about him. And he was only £3 million as well.
Yeah, so that's not bad, actually.
And then here's a funny one for you as well. If you remember Stephen Fletcher's move to Marseille last season from Sunderland, well, he's made a return as well. He's gone to Wednesday on a free as well.
Oh, is it Wednesday? I didn't know that, actually.
So that's a good
sign. So we could have got Fletcher instead of McCormack.
Yeah. Or Ricky Lambert.
We should have gotten both, actually.
Ricky Lambert and Stephen Fletcher. That's who we should have gone for.
So in terms of optimism, give me a mark out of 10. How optimistic are you, Dan? For the season ahead.
For the season ahead, I'm going to go 6.5. I'm going to go 6.5 now. If we can get a couple of signings, I'm going to go 8.
And Chad?
Before we sign McCormack, I'd probably set a 6. Nah, it's gone all the way up to 7.5 because I know we've got a proven goal scorer in the league. And with a few more signings, probably go up to 8.5 as well.
Well, we'll revisit this end of August when we actually know what's...
If we get a new midfielder in 10 and we're going to hit 149 points and make a record and storm the league.
What are you talking about?
Or our do or die last essential 6-pointer against Rotherham, where we'll be going, well, won't it be nice if we're playing in League One, all those teams we've never been
right,
to.
Right, anyways, cut the crap. let's do a five reasons to be cheerful for the season ahead that hasn't started yet.
I'll go first. No Randy Lerner, no Tom Fox.
Agree with you there. I mean, well, let's not even revisit that. It's water under the bridge. It's game over. Thank God. Number two, I'm just going to go for the obvious and say a striker that scored 66 goals in 3 seasons. That's quite rare. I mean, saying that, we had Benteke, who, if he ends up at some piss pot team like Sunderland, I will be crying on the inside because he's a player that Villa let him down in the sense that they should have built a proper team around him because he was a difference. Built I always up. Used to say he gave you a chance against anybody if he was on his game.
Well, if you look at the assists McCormack's got as well, like we mentioned before, he's created around 90-odd goals, 96 goals for us all in the last three seasons.
That's pretty good.
Talking about 30 assists, that is a lot.
And that's playing in teams that haven't exactly set the world on fire across the board. So, I mean, maybe he's a one-man team. It's the only reason we survived in the Premier League over the last few years because we were a one-man team. Maybe that's the only way we can do it nowadays. Okay, number three, anybody?
I'm going to go for the fact that we are now trendsetters with an Italian manager and Chinese owners. And Italian managers that drink espresso as well in pictures. If you saw that at the start. Wolves copying us.
Right, that's three. So what's the fourth reason to be cheerful as a Villa fan going into this new season? Make it a good one.
I just, not worrying about getting relegated from the Premier League, just not, it's kind of exciting alone to not know what's going to happen other than, are we either going to finish fourth bottom or bottom? So it's at least a break from the monotony as well of holding on for dear life and willing someone to wrestle Randy Lerner out of control of our club. So things have progressed.
No, that's a good one. I mean, I'm very happy about that one. And now the fifth and final one. I'm trying to think of one myself.
Burgers, keeping Amavi, Vilobich in jail, Ray Wilkins getting help. I think I'd drunk quite a lot of games.
Let's just end on Ray Wilkins.
Just say Ray Wilkins.
Yep. Or Chinese flag.
Salut, c'est Remy Gard. Hello, my British chums. I am having the most terrible time on the south coast of France. Thank you for the €1 million payoff. That's €500,000 a win. Merci, Tom Fox. Merci, Aston Villa. Adieu.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.